Hey, good morning, everyone. So there were three friends, and they died in a car accident. And they go to an orientation in heaven, and they're all asked, when you are in a casket, and your family and your friends are mourning over your body, what would you like to have them say about you? Well, the first guy, he says, I would like to hear them say that I was a great doctor and that I was a great family man. The second guy says, well, I'd like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a beloved school teacher who made a big difference in the lives of children. And the last guy replies, I would like to hear them say, look, he's still moving. Next Sunday is April Fool's Day. Much more importantly, next Sunday is Easter, right? Yeah, the main event, the big deal. 3 days after Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, Mary and the female disciples discovered that Jesus is still moving. Later that evening, Jesus showed up to the male disciples, and they discovered for themselves, Jesus is still moving. Thomas, the doubting disciple, said he was never going to believe this resurrection talk. But 1 week later, he saw for himself that Jesus is still moving. So next week, we're going to come back here. We're not going to bring the palms, sorry. But we're going to celebrate this very, very good news. Jesus is still moving in the world today. Amen? Amen. This is gospel good news. Now, there's something quite appropriate about Easter falling on April Fool's Day this year. Because Easter Sunday reminds us of some very surprising news. The God, the Father, brought Jesus the Son back from the dead. The joke is on death. Jesus rose from the grave, and look, death has lost its sting. Jesus rose from the dead, and death has lost the victory. The last laugh belongs to those who believe this good news, that Jesus is the resurrection and that Jesus is the life. This morning, we are going to look again at the epic failure of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who thought it would be a really clever practical joke, that it would be a really clever prank if he put above the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Clever joke, right? As we shall see, the joke is reversed and it is turned on Pilate. By the way, I need to take a little break here and just say, if you don't actually pay attention to the jokes that are in the Bible, you're going to miss the biblical story. Okay? Pilate means this to be mean, to be cruel, to be nasty and awful, and God says, you just accidentally said just the right word at just the right time. So we're going to turn to that story right now. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Let's hear some good news, shall we? So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, what is in Hebrew called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Latin and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. God's word. So Pontius Pilate wanted to punish the city of Jerusalem. Why? Well, because on Palm Sunday, the crowds welcomed Jesus into the city like a conquering king. You know, that's what this is about, right? these palm fronds. They're waving these palm branches in the air, which is a symbol of Jewish nationalism. Do you know that? That's what you were doing this morning. You're waving these palm fronds, which was in those days a symbol of Jewish nationalism. This is the symbol of the ancient kings of Israel. In times of rebellion against the Roman Empire, they would take the faces of Caesar off the coins and they would replace it with palm fronds. Okay? So when they're waving these palms in the air, they are saying, "Come on, Jesus, lead us in an armed insurrection against the Roman Empire. Let's go. Come on, Jesus. Save us." The people shouted, "Hosanna," which is Aramaic for... See, I had Paul say this to you earlier, so we would know it in advance. Yeah, it means save us. And then they said, "Blessed is who is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But it's the third part. That's the kicker. That was the thing that was most galling, the most offensive to Pilate, when they said, "Blessed is the King of Israel." Those were fighting words. That was a direct challenge to the Roman occupation of Judea. But Pilate did not respond immediately. He didn't come out with swords. He didn't come out with soldiers right away. Why? Well, maybe because revenge is a dish best served cold. But don't worry. Pilate wanted his revenge all the same. Pilate also wanted to get revenge on the Jewish leaders. 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon about how the high priest of Israel, Caiaphas, and his father-in-law, Annas, manipulated Pilate so that he would put an innocent man to death on the cross. You might remember, just a quick review, Sejanus, he was the second most powerful guy in Rome. Also, he was Pilate's mentor. Sejanus led a revolution against the emperor or tried to have an insurrection. Didn't work out real well for Sejanus. He gets killed. His followers get killed. Pilate, he's associated with Sejanus. And so when they say, "Hey, Pilate, you better kill this guy for us, or we're going to go tattle to the Roman emperor that you're soft on crime, that you're soft on terrorists," he was quaking his boots because he knew that the friends of Sejanus were doomed to die. And so he gave them what they wanted. He folded under the threats of the high priests. But this guy's a Roman soldier. He's a governor. He's not used to wussing out to priests and pastors and ministers. He's not used to that. He doesn't like that very much. He does not like that the crowds were saying, "King of Israel." He doesn't like that the chief priests gave this false accusation that this guy claimed to be the king of the Jews. And so he decided to reassert authority, to take command of his city again, to take command of his relationship with these Jewish priests. He decided to take command by playing a mean, practical joke. A mean, nasty, ugly prank. Pilate decided to add insult to injury by nailing a sign above the cross that proclaimed, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The religious leaders objected to this mean-spirited joke, but Pilate says, "What I have written, I have written." Now, Cynthia Gendrich is a professor at Wake Forest University, and she teaches a seminar on why people laugh. Who knew that we needed such a class? Why people laugh. But she teaches this class, and Gendrich suggests that pranksters play practical jokes in order to feel superior to their victims. I want you to remember this if you're planning any April Fool's jokes on Easter Sunday. We do this because we want to feel superior to the people that we catch in the joke. And for most April Fool's days jokes, it's pretty harmless. It's friends, it's family, it's gentle. But nobody laughs if the joke goes too far, right? If someone is genuinely hurt, no one's laughing anymore. Pilate either does not know or he doesn't care that his joke is way too cruel for anyone to laugh at this sign nailed above Jesus' head. Now, Pilate wrote "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews" in Latin, in Hebrew, and in Greek. Anyone who has ever tried to learn a foreign language knows that humor doesn't translate very well. And I wonder if this is why we don't pay attention to that which is funny in the Bible very often. I wonder, because it was in Greek originally, because it was in Hebrew originally, we miss these ironic moments. We miss these contradictions that are amusing, that are funny, that are supposed to grab your attention and go, wait, now hold on here. What's going on in the Bible? The Bible uses humor to teach us, okay? Now, we can understand that, but Pilate doesn't understand that because no one is laughing at Pilate's jokes. Even the religious leaders, even the high priests of Israel, who despise Jesus, right? They wanted Jesus dead, right? But they don't find this joke very funny. They're okay with Jesus being humbled, but they don't want the nation of Israel to be humiliated in the process. They don't like this joke at all. The Romans, maybe they found it funny. We do know that the Roman soldiers dressed Jesus up in purple. We know that they pushed a crown of thorns on the head. They're humoring Pilate. They're going along with the joke. But it's not translating to these other languages at all. It works in Latin. It doesn't work in Greek. It doesn't work in Hebrew. And it doesn't work for us today because we don't find this stuff funny. Right? Amen? We find this terribly, terribly offensive that Pilate would treat our Lord with this kind of disrespect. And then something really funny happens. Something that was totally unexpected to Pilate, something totally unexpected to the high priests of Israel. What's funny is this. Jesus came back from the dead. Humor is based on surprise. All of a sudden, Jesus is back and he's alive and well. And if you pay attention to the Gospel of John, you'll notice that the Gospel of John gently, lovingly teases the disciples of Jesus for not comprehending what's going on with the resurrection. In other words, the disciples are a lot like us because they don't completely get what's going on. I mean, pay attention to the Bible. What happens in the Bible? Mary Magdalene shows up at the garden and she mistakes the risen Lord Jesus Christ for who? The gardener. This is funny. Peter, and we think the disciple John, they run like children to see the empty tomb for themselves. You have to understand the story. Grown men did not run in Israel. There was no jogging in the ancient world. This is funny stuff. And they don't find Jesus alive or dead. This is funny. And then, after the resurrection, all the disciples who should be going around and telling this good news to people, Jesus is alive, what are they doing? They're hiding behind locked doors. And somehow, Jesus gets inside and he surprises them. That's funny, Bjorn. Yeah, he gets it. You should too. And funniest of all, Paul will be preaching on this in 2 weeks. Thomas, doubting Thomas, says, I'm not going to believe in the resurrection unless I stick my hand in his side and in his hands. Jesus shows up, says, go for it, man. That's hilarious. Are you paying attention? The Gospel of John is using this stuff to grab your attention and to make you fall in love and delight and celebrate. You ever hear the old saying, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Then tell your face, because it should be smiling. You ever hear that? Preachers have been saying that for years. That's a good line. This is funny. We're supposed to be smiling because what was supposed to be a tragedy is suddenly a happy ending. Amen? This is supposed to put a smile on your face. The Gospel of John invites believers to laugh with pure delight because Jesus is back from the dead. And nowhere is this more clear than the sign of Pontius Pilate. Nowhere is it more clear than this sign from Pilate, this joke, this prank, this practical joke by Pontius Pilate, who wrote it to mock the crucified Jesus. Pilate was being sarcastic when he wrote Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He was trying to annoy the crowds of Jerusalem. He was trolling the religious leaders of Israel. But someone so wrong accidentally got it so right. And Jesus rose from the dead, and he validated everything that Pontius Pilate wrote about him and stuck on the cross. The irony of today's story is that Pilate's dumb joke was actually the first written testimony of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That those words that Pilate tacks on the cross are the first written testimony of Jesus Christ, and he gets so much right. He gets his name. He gets his hometown. He even gets the right title, even though he's being sarcastic, the King of the Jews. He's so close to getting it all right. The only thing he needs to add is a statement of faith that this man is also the Son of God. He's so close, but he doesn't get it. And that's why the joke's on him. It's funny that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record this curious story that Pontius Pilate, who was the highest official of the Roman Empire, showed up and he publicly announces in three different languages that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Are you laughing yet? A man who's trying to get it so wrong accidentally got it so right. It's amusing because God used Pontius Pilate as an unwitting agent to fulfill the promises of Scripture. Pilate refused to confess it in private that Jesus is King and Lord, but he does it publicly in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Pontius Pilate ends his cross-examination with Jesus by saying, "What is truth?" And he ends the story by tacking the truth right above Jesus' head for all to see in three different languages. How ironic. Pilate's mean prank backfired on him. And we remember Pilate as a fool. And we laugh today because what was meant so wrong was so right. Do you get the joke? Are you paying attention to what the Bible is teaching us? Do you get the joke that John wants us to open up our eyes to see? God can take the worst and turn it into the best. Pilate insisted that a servant take the extra time to write the accusation against him in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. When the gospel was first proclaimed, it was written in the religious language of the Jews, the legal language of the Romans, and the intellectual and the commercial language of the Greeks. As Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, writes, in Hebrew, the oracles of God were recorded. In Greek, the learning of the philosophers. And in Latin, the laws of the empire. In each of these, Christ is proclaimed King, in whom are hid all the treasures of revelation, wisdom, and power. Those three languages, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, they're there to remind us that the reign of Christ is universal. Yeah, he's King of the Jews, but Jesus is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? They're there to remind us that one day every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even mockers of Jesus Christ, like Pontius Pilate and these Roman soldiers that shoved a crown of thorns on his head. One day, all people will finally understand that Jesus is the long-promised Prince of Peace who has come to make the world right the way God always intended it to be. Psalm 14:1 declares, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." This April Fool's Day, I want you to remember that God will not be mocked. This Easter Sunday, I want you to remember that the joke is on death itself. God redeemed the cross. God redeemed the empty tomb. God even redeemed that wicked, nasty prank of a sign in order to communicate to you that Jesus Christ is King. Do you get it? The joke is on death. And we who believe in Jesus Christ, we get the last laugh. Psalm 35 proclaims, "Weeping may last for the night, but what comes in the morning? Rejoicing." We get to laugh. We get to be full of joy because we belong to the resurrection and the life, and we get to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And we are full of joy. We are full of delight because we trust this King who's crucified for you and me to be our Hosanna, to be the one who saves us. So hallelujah, friends. I'll see you next Sunday. I'll see you on Resurrection Day. We won't have the palms, but we'll have that rejoicing in our hearts because God can redeem the worst in your life because of the gift of eternal life. Amen.